Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has offered farmers and ranchers a strategic consulting approach to manage both marketing opportunities and risks utilizing the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, May wheat opened at 5.64, up 3 on the open. At the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat opened at 5.11, up 2.75 on the open. July, 5.23.5, up 3.5. December, 5.69.25, up 3.25 on the open. March corn opened at 3.60.5, up 4.5 on the open. May, 3.68, up 3.5. July, 3.77.5, up 3. September, 3.87.5, up 3.75. December, $4, up 4. And March of 2010, 4.11.75, up 4.25 on the open. March soybeans opened at 8.85, up 10 on the open. May, 8.70, up 8. July, 8.69, up 8.25. November, 8.29, up 12 on the open. March soybean meal opened at 284.50, up 3.50 on the open. May, 272.50, up $3. March soybean oil opened at 29.78, up 14 on the open. May, 30.05, up 14. April live cattle opened at 82.15, down 40 on the open. March feeders, 89.90, down 10. April lean hogs, 60.90, up 57.5. And May pork bellies, 81.70, down 80 on the open. The 2009 All-Day Agricultural Outlook Meeting is in the books. The second largest crowd in the event's 19-year history helped to make this year's event a success. Watch our website at WILLAG.org for audio from the meeting and our thanks to these agribusinesses who supported this year's event: ADM, Cargill, Bates Commodities, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Cadent EFG Risk Management Commodities. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Services out of Decatur, Illinois. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Want to start with the Dow, if you don't mind, this morning, because technically you begin to look at those charts, and we had a big rally this week, had follow-through yesterday. We're following through again today. The Dow up above 7,000 points at 7034. It's up 103. And I'm beginning to wonder, are we putting in a short-term V-bottom in this market?
I don't know if I'd quite go that far. The market did get terribly oversold on a lot of bearishness on a move down here to the 6,500 level. Anytime you get a market that emotionally pushed to the downside, we're always due for somewhat of a recovery rally. And I was just looking at the charts. I think the breakdown point here, we had a little period of consolidation here about 2 or 3 weeks ago between 7,100 and 7,400. And then we broke down from that point. So the market could easily go back to 72.55 and still not violate any downtrending type lines that you have in place. I mean, we do have a series of lower lows and lower highs. And really, in order to talk about any kind of stabilization period in the Dow, you have to go back above 7,400 probably.
You'd like to see closes above 7,400, 7,500, yes?
Yeah, I mean, that would at least be the first step in maybe indicating that we're going to start tracking sideways. But when you look at the broader picture of the Dow, basically since we started the hard decline back there in September and October, it is in a pronounced downtrend. And it takes quite a bit to kind of reverse that trend, at least from a technical perspective at this point.
Let's go ahead and look at soybeans, which has been moving essentially sideways for the better part of a half a month. If you draw some parallel lines off the December lows and then off the lows, the recent lows, you can have parallel lines to the upside. I don't know if that is a especially good indicator, but it does look like a channel in there. And I'm wondering, given another week of market trade, what your thoughts are heading into the end of the month reports.
Well, the bean market has yet to take out a previous rally high point since it turned down in early January. So it came close the other day on Tuesday, but failed. Now we might be able to get the job done yet before the week's out here. We got today and tomorrow. Tomorrow, though, we're going to have a private estimate, an acreage estimate, and that bets are that that's going to be fairly bearish, and that'll, you know, keep soybeans on the defensive. But no, for the most part, you have to view the bean trend as down, dangerously so that unless you would see something change fairly quickly and we start penetrating a previous high point, the market still has substantial, I think, downside risk in soybeans.
In fact, if I remember right, we talked about lows actually quite a bit lower than the December lows.
Yeah. I mean, that you can read anything in a chart, but, I mean, the beans need to at least be able to take out a previous rally high point. Then you could begin to tilt the market more to a sideways-type range. And like I said, I would not rule that out. I think if anything, old crop beans might have a little more push to them, but there's a lot of beans for sale above the market. So you're going to have something fundamentally really shake up the balance sheet, I think, to get a pronounced rally in soybeans.
Something above 894, for example.
Yes, we need, well, 896 or so. Okay. On the May beans.
Okay. Turn your attention to the soybeans. What does an additional week of trade tell you there?
You mean corn?
I mean corn, excuse me.
Corn, I like corn. Corn was able to punch out its previous rally high point there on Tuesday. Now, yesterday we had a sharp setback, but now today we're regaining that. So I do like the technical action of corn, especially if we're able to kind of hold today's dime advance here as I speak to you into the close. Then if the private crop estimate here tomorrow doesn't throw the trade any curveballs, I think the corn market then is at least in position to kind of rally into that March 31st report. It might be more of a sideways type affair, but I do like the price action of being able to take out a previous rally high point, of turning at least looking back and saying that maybe we do have our late winter, early spring low in place, and now it's a rally into the March 31st report and the early part of the planting season.
What kind of retracement might you expect to see?
Well, you want to take one step at a time. Mm-hmm. We are in a pronounced bear market. There's a little question of that, but it would not surprise me to see the May corn futures climb its way back into that 410, 412 area. I think that's a possibility or a good shot at. We start penetrating that 415 area, then maybe the doors start opening up for something a little better from a technical front. From a fundamental front, I think that would tell you that we've got some problems in getting the new crop planted, or we do have some supply worries on the table for next year's size. So I think December corn, I think we can kind of go back into this 450 range. We start closing above that. I think that would also say that we got some supply problems in front of us.
You measuring that retracement from the December highs to the March lows, or
I'm just kind of glancing at it with eyeballs, kind of feeling the last two or three days is maybe a measuring point off the low that could take us to the upper end of that downtrending channel.
Okay. We have some time to talk about wheat. We don't do that very much, but we have time today to do it. What do you see in the wheat charts?
Wheat struggling. But, you know, I think it has a potential yet of kind of rolling up, trying to stage some kind of spring rally. It is important, though, I think, that this most recent low that we had in July wheat holds. That's going to be the 510, 511 area. We haven't been able to penetrate a previous rally high point. We did get close there earlier this week. Until we do that, I think the wheat market, we're still vulnerable to the downside. From a fundamental point of view, I think the trade is keeping a close eye on the southern plains. They need some rain pretty quickly in there, or otherwise we're going to begin to tuck in the wheat crop. But it is, you know, March yet. We still have plenty of time to get some rain there. Another thing is I think we're going to lose some spring wheat acres in the northern plains. It's just going to get too late up there for them to plant spring wheat. So I think you're going to see a big increase in soybean acres up in that northern plains, Dakotas and Minnesota. So wheat does at least have some fundamentals, at least on the domestic front here, to try to put in some kind of spring-type rally, but we're not quite there yet.
Do you think 460 May basis is in play?
I don't pay too much of attention to May wheat. It's kind of a dead duck. Mm-hmm. Everything's new crop now. All your bids are going to be based off July. I think July is going to be, 575 is going to be an awfully strong resistance point, just glancing at the July wheat chart.
And before we let you go, what's your early thought on the end of the month acreage reports?
Well, I guess I'm kind of about in everybody's frying pan. I guess I do think corn acres are going to slip, and soybean acres, the potential to be huge is there. Whether or not USDA reflects that on their data, we'll have to wait and see. But there's no doubt we're ripe for huge soybean acres unless something comes along and encourages corn plantings during April. And I guess I'm kind of I'm friendly enough corn that I think at some point in time corn is going to try to reflect the increased cost of doing business with corn and going to try to attract some acres. At least a comfortable supply. So I guess I got to be a little friendly to the corn market as we go into the spring.
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.